Hi, ladies. Welcome to the Lady Up America podcast. I'm Diane Canada, your host. I am so glad you're here today. Y'all, we are fresh off the heels of the New Hampshire primary. It took place last night. We're going to talk it all through today. So let's call today's show Nikki and Trump. Be right back. All right. So if you're in the world of politics, or even if you're just a spectator watching and you enjoy following politics, this election season is like kind of the equivalency of the Super Bowl for football viewers, football watchers. We never know what's going to happen next. There's so many dynamics at play. There's so many players coming in and off the field. There's just a lot going on. So we kind of are rejuvenated and enthralled with all that's going on. At the same time, we don't want to diminish in any way the gravity of the situation. We don't want to diminish the seriousness of the issues that are on the ballot this year. And, you know, we've got for all intents and purposes and for the foreseeable future, a two-party system. We do have some people running independent. We do have some people in the Libertarian Party. But, you know, for the foreseeable future, we're looking at a two-party system. And so it's kind of like opposing teams, right? And each team's kind of got their, they're in the locker room kind of planning the strategy for the year. And we don't want to, like, I really hate the, even though that's how it is, I hate the idea of that we're on opposing teams, because we're supposed to all be for America. We're supposed to all be on one team, right? But it's just the reality of where we're at, all of the division, the polarization in our climate. One of the things that I really think that drives that on both sides of the aisle is profitability. I mean, it's very profitable to have opposing teams. And it's very, I mean, it keeps people tuned in to their favorite news network, keeps people reading, furiously reading a lot of articles and blog posts and newspapers and all that stuff online. So there's a lot that drives this. Fear is a great motivator, you know, and you've got both sides stoking a lot of that fear. So I don't want to become another place here that's doing that. Like, here in Lady Up America, what we're all about is solutions and peace and bringing a calm to the chaos. At the same time, we understand it's a storm, right? I don't think we can tame the storm, but we can rest in the eye of it. That's where the perfect peace is. Just because we're in a storm of all this political stuff doesn't mean the storm has to be in us, right? So we can rest in God right here in the middle of it. And from that place of peace, then we can kind of get a lot more clarity on what's going on out there, and we can discern things a lot better, and we can make sense of them. And that way we're not being driven by our emotions. We're being driven by, you know, the correct things. So when we look at last night, Ron DeSantis had pulled out of the race, which probably a lot of you know. Nikki Haley and Donald Trump kind of came down to the two of them. And a lot of people really thought she wouldn't have a very good showing in New Hampshire. Other people thought she really would. So let's get a little bit of clarity first today about what happened last night, and then we'll kind of talk through it. I've got a lot of comments I want to bring to this conversation today and kind of give us some food for thought as we go forward into South Carolina. All right, let's get some clarity. All right, guys. So the clarity around this is that Nikki Haley and Donald Trump faced off last night in New Hampshire. We need to remember, if you watched my podcast last week, that New Hampshire was one of the original 13 colonies. It is in the upper eastern area of our country, known as the New England territory up there, the New England states, which, if you saw my podcast, we had a good laugh about that. And basically that state is made up of more independent voters than any as far as Democrat or Republican voters. So they've got a really, really large base of independent voters. They don't like to affiliate. The thing about New Hampshire, too, is that they've got relaxed laws around their primary process. So you can show up as an independent voter and pick today that you want to go vote for Nikki Haley in the presidential primary. And then in November, in the general election, you can go back to that same precinct and pull a Democrat ballot and vote for Joe Biden the same year. So it, a lot of people did show up to do that for her last night, just to try to, you know, mess with the system, just kind of game the system a little bit. But from what I understand, it wasn't that many. And Trump took it by 11 points last night over Haley. He is, I don't know the exact stat, but he is, I believe, the first president in modern history, I think since the 70s, to have won Iowa and New Hampshire, especially in such, with such a gaping distance. So he's really, I mean, in New Hampshire, because they have so many independent voters, because they have a lot of Democrat voters up there, people say that however New Hampshire goes, that's a really good temperature check on how the rest of the country will go. So if that's the case, then we're looking pretty good for the Republican Party, but we don't ever want to take anything for granted. So Haley, a lot when she came in second last night, she got on her podium very quickly and made comments right away, basically saying that New Hampshire is just the first of dozens of states, that this is the beginning, not the end. And she kind of came off very confidently and, you know, kind of with this almost kind of snarky, you know, I'm a fighter and we're in it to win it kind of mentality. So then Trump came on a little later to give his speech. And, you know, of course, there were a lot of people up there with him that were former presidential candidates. They had Tim Scott and Vivek Ramaswamy up there on the stage with them. And a lot of them came on the mic and said what a lot of us are thinking, that it's really time for her to bow out. There was a wide margin in Iowa, and now there was a pretty wide margin in New Hampshire. Not as wide as we'd like, but a wide one indeed. And the reason that we say that is because if she couldn't really pull it off in New Hampshire, where she had everything working for her there, a huge budget, she had billionaires just pouring into her campaign. She had Democrat voters trying to give her a leg up over Trump. She had all of the greatest conditions for a big win. She did not win. So if that is the temperature check for the rest of the country, then there's really no point in her staying in at this point. Where South Carolina is going to be the next race where they face off. There is a stop in between in Nevada where Trump's just basically the only one on the ballot there. I don't know what happened, but she didn't get in on that caucus out there. There's a primary and a caucus, and she didn't participate in that. So it is going to go to Trump. And then we go on to South Carolina in a month. So we look at South Carolina, that's her home state, yet the major players coming out of there, the major political players have, you know, pledged their loyalty to Trump. And so a lot of people are saying, why would she risk losing there, especially if she has future political ambition? Why would she risk losing there in her home state and being humiliated like that? So even though she came on the mic last night and said, yeah, it's not over till, you know, all that, a lot of people expect that she'll kind of, you know, she may change her mind in the coming week or two. So we'll see what happens. But a couple of things I want to highlight and talk about her candidacy that I think are important for us to take into the general election. A lot of people are looking at Haley as the alternative to Trump in the Republican Party. And she can come on a mic and she can say, hey, I voted for him twice and I worked in his, worked as his UN ambassador. And it's nothing against Trump. It's just, we're ready for change. We're tired of all the drama. You know, I'm going to bring a lot of his same policies, but we're not going to have all the drama. Well, my question is, in what universe are we not going to have drama if you're bringing his same policies forward? Because anytime you're going in to upset the uniparty or evict what I call the cockroaches, like if you're going to come in and shine a bright light on a lot of the corruption, you flip that light on in a room and all the cockroaches go scurrying, right? So if she's going to come and shine those bright lights on the corruption in Washington and try to oust bureaucrats and try to bring a lot of those policies, then what in the world makes us think that chaos would not ensue once again. We would just be trading Trump's chaos for Haley's chaos. So she, you know, she went and did a big upset in the state house in South Carolina when she was governor. And she'll probably try and, you know, kind of ping back to that. But we're talking about a little bitty state like South Carolina versus, you know, the potential leader of the free world where the stakes are much, much, much higher. I promise you chaos will ensue if she tries to bring in those policies. Now, could she be telling us that on the campaign trail and then she's going to get in and bow to the donors and kind of lull us all back to sleep? Trump woke everybody up, right? And we don't need to be lulled back to sleep. So what I want to suggest is that maybe we need to hang tight a little bit longer with the drama, because in my experience, anytime you're rebuilding something, anytime you're kind of doing a big spring cleaning, you know, in anything, or if you're remodeling a house or whatever, things get worse, a lot worse before they get better. Like you got to tear things out. You got to pull things out of closets. Maybe you got to knock down some walls. I mean, you got to demo some areas. Things get a lot uglier and a lot more dramatic before then you can clean all that out and start putting things back and rebuilding and kind of bringing order to that chaos again. So I don't think that it's the chaos we need to try to run from here. Okay. Because we're going to have it no matter which candidate goes in, if she truly does plan on upholding those policies. So let's not be looking to, just my suggestion, let's not be looking to bring down the temperature and the drama, although we all want to see that eventually. Let's be willing to ride that out a little longer, get on the other side of that, because what Trump's trying to do there in Washington, which is why so many people are behind him, is he's trying to shine lights on that corruption. He's trying to spring clean the area, the Capitol up there, and a lot of the policies that have kept Americans suffering for so many years. He's trying to bring, you know, accountability to the bureaucrats and, you know, bring the back the rule of law and all of that. So, and I know a lot of people out there who may not like Trump are going to roll their eyes. And I know you're getting a lot of stuff from the other side, or maybe even from this side, people who don't like Trump, that are saying things like, you know, he's a threat to our democracy, January 6th, all these things. We're going to talk about this more and more as the election goes on. You know, one thing I always try and do is be very balanced and look at things from all angles. I'm not in an echo chamber. I'm listening to people from all different sides all the time. And because I feel a responsibility when I get on here to, you know, I know a lot of you follow me and you're kind of depending on me to give you good information. And I really take that seriously. So I try to do that. I want to tell you that none of us really know what happened on January 6th. You know, there's so much being brought forward right now. So much evidence that's kind of leaking out and coming out that it's confusing. All right. None of us are ever going to be for violence. We are never, ever going to be for any kind of insurrection on our Capitol. Like, we don't ever want to see that. Not ever, ever, ever. We never advocate for that. But what I'm saying is that things can be taken out of context, misconstrued. There can be other factors playing in that. If we don't have all the information, it's hard to make a judgment call on that. So I would just say, and he hasn't been charged with it, by the way, neither have any of the people who have been held all this time. Not one of them has been charged with insurrection. Okay. Just trespassing and things like that. So let's just be careful about that one. Let's let the evidence come out. Also about, you know, the election, all of that. Like, let's just wait and see, because, you know, we had unprecedented changes to our voter process in 2020. COVID brought all kinds of changes to the way we vote. Mail-in ballots were brand new as far as mass mail-in ballots, and drop boxes were new and all that stuff. So how can we be so quick to say that there wasn't some foul play there? So I'm just saying, be open-minded. And now that all these court cases are on the docket, we're going to start getting a lot of these answers. I mean, they've opened that Pandora box where now a lot of this information can come forward and it can be sifted through. The reason why it hasn't been up till now is because no judge would take up the case. they wouldn't hear it because of what they call standing. But it wasn't that he was ruled against. It was just that they wouldn't hear it. Well, now they have to hear it because they brought the charges. So it opens up an opportunity now for him to bring a lot of this evidence forward. And we'll be able to judge for ourselves. I'm not making any quick judgment calls, but I'm just asking you to stay open-minded, and things may not be what they seem. All right. And be willing to ride out the chaos a little longer if we know that it might get worse before it gets better. Because we want it better forever. Like we want him to come in here and clean this up, close our border, get our economy back under control, settle the world down from a potential World War III. You know, we want him to come in and bring this. And they know he means it. When he comes into office, he's a very intimidating figure. And they've already had 4 years of him. I'm talking about the people on the world stage, the leaders of other nations. They know he'll back up what he says. I don't think that anybody would be intimidated by Nikki Haley. Certainly not other world leaders who have a very low opinion of women. We need Trump in there to stand toe to toe with these leaders, back them off, bringing some calm to the chaos. He will do that instantly. We'll have our border closed. So many things will be restored to normal in our country. Then once he gets it under control, then we can have another leader come in 4 years and maintain it. Kind of like the difference in somebody who builds a business versus somebody who manages a business, right? Like the visionary, the builder, the one who comes in and maybe gets the mess and has to clean it all up. That's a different skill set than somebody who's going to come in and maintain it after that. And I think that's what we need here at this moment in time, is we need a visionary. We need somebody who's going to come in and just spring clean and build it back up. And then we can bring in the next candidate after this to maintain it. So just some food for thought. Okay. Just my opinion, whatever that's worth, may not be worth much to you, but that's just my opinion on it. And to understand that Nikki Haley is, if she didn't pull it off in New Hampshire last night, which she didn't by 11 points, she's not going to pull it off in the nation. And I know a lot of people don't want a meetup again between Biden and Trump. But I'll tell you, we're in a very, very different place than we were in 2020. Okay, we have a stark contrast between the two administrations. Before COVID hit, we were humming as a country, humming like at our best. We were just humming at a very high frequency, you know, and doing really, really well. Biden's catastrophe after one catastrophe after another, one horrible policy that has come back to bite us after another. Like you look all the way down the line, they have absolutely nothing other than catastrophe after catastrophe, starting with Afghanistan. I mean, look at all that's going on in the world right now. We have a terrible economy. We have wide open borders. They're letting God knows who into our country. I mean, you could just go down a list and check, check, check. If you put a list up beside, you know, Trump's side and Biden's side, and you went down the list, it's a stark contrast. So with such a low approval rating that Biden has right now, it very well could be a very different outcome this time around. And we're seeing that already in these early caucus and the early first primary. I hope that's indicative of what's to come. And, you know, let Biden's side, let them think that this is a great matchup. Let them think that they can win. You know, that cockiness, you know, that might work in our favor. But anyway, New Hampshire, very epic night last night. I hope Nikki Haley will drop out so that we can start turning our attention toward the general, because we've got two major things we're going to have to do this general election. One is we're going to have to win over the never Trumpers, the people who hate him, the people who've been conditioned and taught to hate him, or the people who just genuinely hate him because, you know, of their own emotional opinion of him. What I'm going to beg people to do all throughout this season is to not look at the personality, to look at the policies. Like I said, when we put those two administrations up side by side, which one actually upheld democracy, upheld our seven conservative values that we talk about on here, and which one is tearing them all down, which one's just got a hammer, taking a hammer to them right now. That's what we have to look for, y'all. Not his personality, his policies. All right. So I know. Don't hate me. I know. It's a lot. I know. We'll get through this together. Just try to stay open-minded is all I ask. All right. Let me pray for you. Father God, I thank you so much for this precious woman listening to this show today, Lord. We all want a calm to the chaos. Lord, we want it in the right way. Help us to be wise as serpents, Lord, but innocent as lambs as we look at this. Help us, Lord, to not be deceived. Help us to have great discernment so that we can see through the smoke clouds. Lord, we can see through the deceptive narratives and messaging. Lord, we can make decisions that are based on truth. Lord, I thank you that we live in this country with all of its warts and all, Lord. It's still the best country in the whole world. And we thank you that we were born here, that we get to live here and enjoy it. Lord, help us to return it to you. Help us to make such an impact on this culture that we turn our nation back to you, Lord, so that you can heal our land. We pray this in Jesus' name, Lord. Don't give up on us. Amen. Amen. All right, ladies. I love you. I will see you next week. We're only doing weekly podcasts now because I'm really busy now that we're in election season. I'm doing a lot of workshops and I'm doing a lot of speaking. Just put the book out, which I think I told you guys about. So the book is up for pre-order now at ladyupamerica.com. And it's got a lot going on. Like I said, it's the Super Bowl season for the political world. And I'm kind of going to be everywhere, but I'm going to still show up here for you guys once a week. I'm also doing a lot of news appearances, things on national news shows. So I'm kind of everywhere this year, but I love you and I'm right here with you as much as I can possibly be. Thanks for tuning in and I'll see you guys next week. All right. Lady up. Lady up around this time. Lady up around this time. Victory on the back.